In a world full of movie podcasts, here is one more. Welcome to Defend Your Movie with Sean Donnelly
and Andrew Fiore.
The time has come again. The champion must end. It can only be one of us. Victoria!
Folks, hello and welcome to your favorite podcast. No more is it the Defend Your Movie podcast. It is now the DYM podcast. And I am talking to all those. We're not talking to the defenders anymore. We have the new and improved dimwits, the DYM wits. I am one of your hosts, and that right there was your other host, Andy Fiore, ladies and gentlemen. How are you, kid?
I'm doing well, thank you. Loving the dimwits. I already got somebody. Hey, I'm listening to the dimwits right now. I love it.
Want to hear something great? I did a show in Pennsylvania this past weekend, the same one you did, and somebody came, and then I don't know if they didn't say hello. They didn't mention they were a dimwit, but they wrote a comment on the Instagram after I did the show.
Oh, I love it.
And they were like, they're like, great show. I'm a dimwit. I'm like, and the episode had just come out like the day before. So I'm like,
oh, that makes my day.
I'm like, wow, you really are a dimwit.
I love it. Taking the nation by storm.
Taking the nation by storm. I even tagged you in it, I think, but I don't know if it worked to show you
maybe
the
I
guy
it.
Comments. Yeah. You know,
I do remember. That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Love the dimwits out there.
How are you doing? How is everything in general?
Everything's pretty good, man. You know, we're both in New York City. It's been a weird week of weather. It's been boiling hot or torrential downpours. It's just like,
I know.
It's in with 2020 perfectly.
It's like we're in the middle of the rainforest.
Yes. Seriously.
Also, did you notice this? Have you had any run-ins with the fact that we're becoming the safe place?
What do you mean run-ins?
Well, I mean, like hearing about people, like thinking about moving back because like from LA or something.
Oh,
like,
hilarious.
That's what I mean by run-in. Like I've heard of like a few different comics being like, maybe I should come back to New York because
they that's will so you. Funny.
Because now, right now,
they
I just
don't
saw
want you.
Yeah, exactly. I just saw on TV that we're now second to Los Angeles in cases.
Yes.
And we're almost third to Los Angeles and Florida in cases.
Yeah.
And we probably have how many more people than those states?
Exactly. Like, we're the big, and not only that, listen, gang, it's not hard to fucking connect these dots. New York was the epicenter at one point in the beginning of this thing. We did our job. We wore our masks. We stayed home. We socially distanced and we stomped, or as I should say, flattened the curve. And now we're one of the safest places in the country. Everybody else who has a problem with doing all these things, look at what is happening. It's not hard to figure out. It's not hard math here.
It just makes you,
it's your civic duty. We can knock this thing out if everybody would just be a little responsible. And I don't mean to get preachy or anything, but the writing's on the wall.
Absolutely. It could not be more apparent. And it's just like really disappointing that people, because a lot of this is just going to, has to be, because here's the thing, man, like the logic that I have is that New York, we're forced to be next to each other and that we've had to take a step back and like stay home most of the time. There's people doing shitty things like the thing in Astoria and the thing in the Lower East Side where all those kids, East Village, always going to be happen, right? But most people in New York were like, hey, I'm
always going to be a bad Pete in the meat.
But here's the thing. My thing is this: if I'm in Long Island, if you're in Jersey, like that should be easy. Should be easy because most of the time, unless you're with 15,000 people a day and in those places, which you're not. Like most of the time, if you're staying home because nobody's working in their offices anyway. You're in your car. You're not dealing with public transit. You go into a store. You wear a mask. It should be a no-brainer to me. Like, I'm not trying to – like, shit happens. Don't get me wrong. But this – it's got to be that people are thumbing their nose at it and saying, no, I refuse to wear the mask you tell me to wear. Like,
yeah.
You know.
It's become politicized, and I don't care what side of the aisle you lie on. It's just look at the facts, dude. And I know you could say, well, there's all different numbers, and it's not. The fact is that because I live here and we've gone through it, when we wore masks and we still wear masks and we social distance, the numbers drop. And in all the places that are fighting against wearing the mask, saying this is my freedoms, it's like, yeah, of course, nobody's making you do it, but look what is around you.
Yeah,
it's not. It's so obvious. Anyway, I don't, people are going to yell at us, but
people get mad. My buddy, we're talking about too long, but my buddy lives in Arizona, and he's like, they're awful here. He's like, they're awful. He's like, they're purposely. They really is a political thing for them, and they're not just like, hey, let me be courteous and not do this. You know,
for sure. Come on, have a little civic pride and help your fellow man out. Let's knock this thing out so we can all get back to doing what we love.
Exactly. We can get Andy in that. Right behind you is the Shining picture. That's creepy as fuck.
To explain,
in Andy's Zoom video right now, I'm looking behind him. I see like about an 8.5 by 11. Photo hanging on the wall, and I was like, what is that? I'm like, oh, it's that party scene photo.
The very last shot of The Shining.
Yeah.
When they zoom in, it's a July 4th ball,
1921. You are a scary human being over there.
Yeah, I have this. I have like Max von Sydow right when he walks into the shadow of light beaming down from Reagan's bedroom from The Exorcist. In my living room.
That's the famous shot.
The famous shot of the beam of light. And Lori Palmateri, a confirmed horror movie fanatic, came over to my house one day. She was like, yeah, maybe not for the living room, dude.
Maybe not where you're entertaining. You know?
Right, right. So the story behind this is this showed up one day, a couple months after I ordered it, and blatantly forgot about it. I think I got drunk one night. Went on Instagram, and they know what I like. And I went, yeah, I need that for my home. Because, buddy, this thing showed up, and I had zero recollection of ordering this.
And also, talk about what a creepy thing to show up when you don't remember ordering it.
Totally, dude.
It might be the number one creepiest picture to show up. The only way to make it creepier is if instead of Jack Nicholson's face, it was your face on the guy in the front of the photo. That's the point of like, oh my god, was I there? Was I in the Shining Mansion hotel, whatever?
They need correcting.
What is you've been working? You work during the week. You kind of keep busy. Anything else going on over there?
No, busy with lots of radio, lots of SiriusXM stuff. I actually did a show in Central Park last night, which was nice to get back to stand up again. I had that little taste in June, and then took another month off. So I got to do a set through Stand Up New York. They do these pop-up shows in various places in Central Park. So that was fun just to get out and literally yell at a group of strangers in the park. It actually felt like real New York. You know what I mean?
Yeah, right. And what was the outcome? Were people there?
Yeah, it was pretty good. There's about 20 people there all just kind of sitting in a group on one of the lawns in Cedar Hill in part of Central Park. And it was a little, I was nervous because it got really gray and cloudy right as I was going on. And so my first kind of riffs was I was like, this is great to be out here doing this again. I've never had a set be interrupted by a rain delay before.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
I'm getting heckled by joggers and like little girls running around playing hide and seek. It was kind of funny and sweet at the same time. But everybody there really enjoyed themselves. They were like, thank you guys for doing this. It's just a cool, you know, thing that we don't have anymore. So the fans were fans. The audience was very appreciative.
The comedy
and
fans.
So everybody was very sweet. And I got to see some of our comic buddies and people I haven't seen in a while. So that was a nice little midweek break.
I don't think I talked. I did that show in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I didn't talk about it yet on the podcast, right?
I don't remember.
I'll tell you, man. I did it. It was that same one you did. It was that Soul Joel one. And it was like, I was actually kind of apprehensive about doing it because my last set was that one I did at the Astoria Diner in the parking lot where most of the audience's cars. And I really, you know, I kind of do whatever anyway. I kind of riff a lot and do crowd work and I do jokes, whatever.
Yeah.
But I did not prepare even mentally for that Astoria thing. And it really didn't go well. And I really should have prepared more and really got in the mindset for it. And it was also my first time back on stage. But I, after 10 minutes, I was like, can I get off? Like, it was like that kind of,
right,
actually kind of like embarrassed. Like, I didn't think I would be, because I was like, who gives a shit? It's at a diner.
Well, you still have pride and
Exactly. So leading up to this Pennsylvania show, I was like, oh my God, I got to do 45 minutes. How is that even going
I went the same exact way. I did the diner show and then I did the headlining show and I was shitting my pants getting to 45 minutes.
And I basically told myself this. Well, I went up and I just made, Joel is our friend that runs the show, Soul Joel. He's great. And I made fun of him for like five, as long as I could.
I do that in normal times whenever he hosts
the show. Yeah. So I just made fun of him. And then I was like, I'm not going to look at my watch or anything, or I'm just going to go until I feel that. And luckily this audience was like phenomenal. Like that, I'm not even putting it on me that like, I think I'm good. Like, I don't think I'm a shitty comic. I don't think I'm amazing. I think I'm good.
Here's a way to put it, buddy, here's what we are. You and me, we're not Michael Jordans, but we're in the professionals. We're in the NBA.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. And I absolutely believe that. And that's how I feel about, that's when I was up there, I was like, oh, they were dying to see something so much. They were phenomenal. Like, they were great.
Yeah, which is great when that happens, that just two come together.
So I did as much time as I could. I think I did about 45, maybe a little bit over. And then I
came in at 43 and I felt like I was racing through it.
Yeah. I just purposely, I had my quarantine jokes. I did those. I riffed on those. I tried to come up with new, like I tried to be as loose as possible so I would have fun. So it would come off fun, I guess. Like that was my thought process.
Of course.
And then I'm just glad it worked out. And then it actually made me want to go up more. Like I have a couple of things.
A couple things this weekend. That's the hard thing.
I have two things this weekend. Another one at the Astoria. I'm going back to the Astoria Diner for a benefit show to try to redeem myself. to try to have that second bout and try to do it. But anyway, so it was fun. And then also, God damn, man, getting out of the city is so fantastic. It's so great.
It's the best.
Even though my lease is up in October. I've talked to you about this. And I'm probably going to stay in Queens, but I'm not sure.
We'll figure it out.
We'll see what happens. Yeah.
Absolutely. I tell you, I was had a funny kind of thing yesterday, and it's movie related. I've been stepping up my cooking game a little bit in the quarantine, but I've really been a bachelor for most of my adult life. So my cooking utensils, my cooking wares, very basic, bro. So I said to myself yesterday, I said, I'm going to go, or maybe this was Tuesday, I'm going to go and get some new pots and pans.
Nice.
Upgrade my kitchen supplies. So I walked over to this place in our neighborhood, Home Comforts. They're my go-to for any stuff like that you need for the house. And I'm walking there, and right on my street are these three beautiful girls, like mid-20s, just they're sitting on the steps and just kind of in bikinis. And I wanted to do that thing where I just like walked by and then did the Ferris Bueller where I turned around and just went, hi, Andrew Fiore.
When he's running through the backyards?
Yeah, and I got nervous and I just ran away. And I had that thing in my head where I go, all right, if they're on the way, if they're there on the way back, I'm going to say something because I'm trying to just be more confident with women in my life. You know?
Right.
If anything the quarantine has taught me, it's that it doesn't matter. So just take a flyer on something.
Think of the right. It doesn't matter if you talk to these girls.
So, of course, they were gone when I came back, and there's very anticlimactic ending to that story. But I thought in my head, I just thought the Ferris Bueller move would be funny because I literally walked by and then almost turned back.
But at least they put that thought in your head. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, at least I know what you mean. We're very similar in these regards. Like, I have that as well. I used to be good at opening up conversations, but not closing any kind of deal or – you know, it was bars going home with somebody. Like, I was always like, it would always be me. Like, I'd be very charming up front. I'd be cool. I'd hang out with them. And the end of the night, I'm like, okay, great. Nice meeting you.
Yeah.
Just like a jackass. Nice meeting you guys. All right, gals. All right, get home safe, gals.
Later, dude.
Later, buddy. Later, pal. just like, you know, just being a jackass. So I'm trying.
Yeah, but now, hey, buddy, now maybe they're, I know they live on my block, I think. So maybe I'll see.
Now you can stalk them. Look at that.
Yeah, now you can. I also bought binoculars at Home Comfort.
Yeah. Home Comfort. They had these bugs that you put in people's houses to hear what they're saying. Almost like the FBI.
Yeah, home uncomfortable.
Home uncomfortable. speaking of the FBI, I started watching. I want to go back to talking about confidence, but well, this actually kind of fits into it. Mafia guys are very confident.
They're a confident group.
There's some new Netflix show called Fear City. Have you seen that? Has that popped
Fear
up?
Fear City?
Yet?
No, but because I need something new.
Dude, it's like, I watched a couple episodes. It's pretty good. It's like a well-produced, it's stuff that you probably know about the mafia already because
I can watch that shit over and over again.
Hey, same here. So it's about New York in the 70s and 80s, and it's still about the five families, and it's about more about what the FBI did.
Okay.
And one, if I can tell you just one of the quick stories, there was one guy.
Please.
Where it was one of the enforcers of, like, you know, the Bonanno or Gotti or whatever it was. Yeah. And they figured this. They went to go to Paul Castellano's house. That's what it was. It was Paul Castellano's house. And he wasn't there, but his right-hand man was there, and they didn't want him in the house. But they didn't want, like, the technician, which was the FBI agent, in the house. They had this guy they interviewed that was, like, known for being able to, like, blend in and get in people's houses, like, and be just really just undistinguishable from, like doesn't look FBI, just, you know,
gotcha.
I guess a likable face, or like a guy just blends into the crowd, you know? So he was the one they would send on these missions. So they sent him to Paul Castellano's house. They knew Paul Castellano loved cable. So they, like, oh, cable and technology and all that. He always had the newest TV and phone stuff, right?
He's the fucking Bobby Kelly of the mafia.
Yeah. So anyway, they fucked up his wiring, like, you know, where the wire connects.
On purpose.
So he'd have to call and get a technician down there.
Genius.
So the technician comes down and he goes, oh, you have to make an appointment. And they go, we won't make an appointment. Do it now. And he goes, all right, I'll do it now. And the guy opens up the thing and he goes, I took a risk. The guy, the technician, FBI agent goes, I took a really big risk. I asked the enforcer, I go, if you help me with something, I can get out of here way quicker. And he goes, what's that? He goes, what do you mean? And he goes, you got to hold this flashlight for me while I do this. And so the mafia guy held the flashlight for the FBI guy while he was installing the bug into the cable system.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Isn't that? I thought that was a genius. I thought that was so great. I'm like, these fucking idiots had no clue they were being listened to or watched. Actually, I guess sometimes they did because they had another story about them ripping out a wire or whatever it was.
All right. Fear City. I'll check it out.
Fear
I love
City.
All that shit.
Check it out, man. But, yeah, I think that's what I think I'm going to go by from now on. I'll just have the confidence of a mafia guy when I'm talking to girls.
Yeah, you got to have that mafia guy confidence. I started learning Spanish, and I started Babbel. I'm doing Babbel on my phone.
How is it working?
I think muy bueno. Thanks for teeing me up for that. I think it's good, dude. It's like a lot of my learning is it sends me right back to high school where I immediately think to myself, I'm like, oh, I could just skip this or like, I don't need this. Like, yeah. I'm not a good student, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I want to be learning this and I know a little bit already. And I think I'm going to just try and stick with it because I just want to get conversationally good. I don't need to really write it down or anything like that. So this is kind of like, well, they teach you the verbs and the, you know, the prepositions and all that stuff. And I go, ah, I don't need that stuff. I just want to be able to talk, you know? So
yeah, but that'll help you talk though.
Yeah, I guess so. But they give you quizzes at the end and I'm failing them and getting them wrong. I don't know.
I know what you mean because I downloaded Babbel a while ago and just, I was like, I'll do this. And I never did it. I did the free one. I didn't do the pay one.
Right, right. So I paid for 3 months. So I'm going to at least do what I paid for and see where I'm at. So
Why don't we do this? I'll do it as well. And then this will become a Spanish podcast.
Oh, sí, señor. Yeah, yeah.
Because that's one thing I always wanted to do is like learn Spanish. I think it's getting to the point where it's like you should, if you live here, and especially in New York City, it's like, why not? Why not?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
So I Been doing that. I got my fourth lesson and final lesson of the week. I'm doing it Monday through Thursday, taking the weekends off.
Oh, wait, so how long do you do it a day? Like an hour a day?
Yeah, you can do as many lessons as you want. So I do it for about an hour, and then you kind of review it. So I think it's sticking a little bit, but it's also that thing where I don't have anybody to talk to. So
yeah,
I don't want to forget what I've learned, but
maybe I'll do it.
And I'm then giving it the college try. So
maybe I'll do it, and then we'll, by the time, should we do this? I'll download it. How much is it a month?
It's not expensive. It was like $30 for 3 months.
Oh, yeah, that's not bad. Maybe I'll do this. I'll do it. And then and after the 3 months, we'll try to have a five-minute conversation in Spanish on the podcast.
Buddy, 5 minutes is a long time.
All right, a three-minute conversation in Spanish.
All right, if you think that's better, that's still a long time.
But I'm saying after 3 months of learning it.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, all right.
Maybe I'll do that.
In October.
In October, we just do.
We'll come out of it.
Yeah, that would actually be a pretty good. Maybe I'll do that. That's funny.
But yeah.
Hola, Andrew.
Mi amo Andrew.
But speaking of ladies.
Speaking of language,
have you. I've been still doing the apps. Now I'm just like racking up conversations on the apps.
Same here. It's so funny you mentioned that. I got a whole bunch of likes and then.
I think there was like a spike because I had the same thing.
Yeah, there was a spike, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then here's one thing I have this issue with. I have now matched with this one girl, Jessica, whoever you are, three separate times now. And this is Bumble, so they have to make the first move. I go, hey, Jess, if you're not going to say hi, stop matching with me, sweetie. All right? Because every time I'm like, oh, this girl's cute. And I'm like, oh, it's fucking Jessica again. It's like, come on. I mean, you're not wasting my time, but still, it makes me angry.
She's your white whale. She's your Jaws.
Yeah. No, a lot of the same thing this week. I was swiping, and I had a lot of likes, and I'm midway through a lot of conversations that I've just abandoned.
That happens. Yeah. I'll tell you, man, I've been talking to this girl recently. That's really cool. And
nice.
It's weird. Like, I think what kind of helped it is that one day, she was like on the app one day. She was like, do you have any like horror stories from the apps? And I go, or dates from these apps? And I was like, I do have a couple. And she goes, lay it on me. I want to hear it. And I go, do you want me to call you? Or do you want me to type it in? And she goes, call me. It's easier. And I called her one day just on a whim. But I mean, I called her and we talked on the phone for about a half hour then. And then we talked another couple days, which was last night. And a couple days later over FaceTime. And then now we've been talking, you know, like it's,
that's how it happens.
That's how it happens. I think it has something like that has to happen. Like I think it's like, it has to be something natural. That's what I think I'm going to do from all these things.
You still need a little bit of that luck in love, that little sparkle twinkle in the air, that something weird happens and it just triggers something else.
Yeah. But I told her I haven't probably told this story on the podcast, because we just started not doing movie stuff. Did I tell you that story? I haven't told you the 90-day fiance girl story from the date from Bumble one time.
I don't think so.
Do you want me to tell it? You want me to tell it?
Refresh my memory.
So what happens is, I'll tell the quick version. I'll tell the quick version. Right, do you? Good, you're married. That's Spaceballs. Anyway, so cut to a while ago, probably like a year ago.
Hey, I'm Nolan Sykes, a host of Past Gas, the number one automotive podcast in the world. Every week, my co-hosts, James Pumphrey, Joe Weber, and I bring you some of our favorite stories from the hallowed halls of car history. From the amazing, to the weird, to the utterly unforgettable moments, we cover it all. Join us as we take a look at the wild stories and larger-than-life characters behind legendary cars and car makers. So if you love cars or just like a good story, check out Past Gas by Donut Media, the number one automotive podcast in the world.
I go on a date with this girl and it's terrible, and I'm there for 3 hours and 2.5 hours, and she's not asking me anything about me remotely. It's me just asking her question after question. I'm running out of things to say. Yeah. She really has nothing going on. She even mentioned her dad worked at like Area 51. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. And then I'm like,
for you? Yeah.
And I knew I wasn't going to be like, hey, has he met an alien? But I was like,
that's why you hung out. Now I know why you stuck in it.
But listen, so then
I'm going to get to meet this guy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, yeah, I did kind of think that while we were gone. Anyway, so then what happens is she mentions at one point that she has
herpes.
A 90-day fiance Instagram account. Like, she does memes of 90-day fiance. Okay. And at this point, I had never seen the show. So during the date, I just said, I just kind of like let it go. I was like, oh, that's cool. You get to do that, whatever it is, right? Then cut to, I don't know, a little while later. And then Tracy Carnazzo has a 90 Day Fiancé podcast. She goes, can you do it? I go, I've never watched the show. But then I started dating somebody who watched the show. So I watched a bunch of episodes. So I saw Tracy again one day at the Cellar. And I said, hey, I can do your podcast. I watch the show now. I've watched it. And mm-hmm. She goes, oh my God. And I go, I actually have a funny story for the podcast. Because when I was on the date with that girl, at one point I go, hey, that's cool. You have your meme account for 90 Day Fiancé, and then you have your corporate job during the day. And she goes, I just put the content out there. If they like it, they like it. If they don't, they don't. And I've never before wanted to just throw her in the garbage and just just murder somebody. Puppy. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so then cut to me and Tracy talking, and I go, I can do your podcast now. And I'll tell you this story. And I go, I told her the story. And she goes, oh, yeah, you have to watch out for those people because those fans of the show can be crazy. There's this one girl that goes by this, and she stalked like three of the cast members, and they had to get restraining orders against her.
Please let this happen.
And it was that girl that I went with.
Get the fuck out of here.
I swear to God. I the minute she said the Instagram handle, I was like, I lost it. Andy, I went, that's the girl. That's the girl.
Oh my God. Yeah. What a story. That's amazing.
Isn't that great? Isn't that so great? Oh my God. I was like, oh my God. So I'm like, I dodged such a bullet on that because we just left the date, like whatever happened, whatever happened.
Boy, just goes to show you, anybody on TV, there's going to be some weirdo out there who's got an infatuation with him.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
Sickies.
Yep. Yeah, definitely there's some sick people out there. Oh, by the way.
Wow, what a story.
By the way, did we do a Seinfeld reference yet?
That was right there. That was Elaine. That was a sickies.
Yeah, no, sick. Oh, there we go. Oh, shit.
How funny is that? Yeah. I was walking by 129 West 81st Street the other day.
Were you really?
No.
Oh.
It crossed my mind because I was in Central Park. I hadn't been in Manhattan in a while, and I was right on the Upper West Side. So I thought, because I've gone by Tom's Delicatessen.
It's Tom's Restaurant. Tom's Restaurant.
Yeah. Oh, right. Tom's Restaurant. But I think just to go by 129 West 81st was his original
that was his address. But the building is in L.A., the one they use.
Right.
The front of the building they use for him is in L.A.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
They film most of that stuff in L.A. Like, they filmed most of those, what do they call
it? Well, that ruins the show for me.
Yeah, I know. I think they have some stuff, obviously, that's got to be in New York. But, I mean,
I was just, not to just quote from the show, but the other day, I forgot to send it to you because I taped it off the TV on my phone. And it's just when Kramer's taking those pictures of George, the timeless art of seduction.
Yeah.
I just love Kramer's pep talk so much when George goes, I feel fat. He goes, hey. Now we're not going to do anything you're uncomfortable with. No? We're just going to relax and have a fun time because you're a fun guy. Because you're a fun guy kills me so far.
Dude, I watched the statue episode with the actor boyfriend of Rava, the one. Sure. Rava's played by a woman who hangs out at the Cellar.
Yes,
all the time.
We know her. Yep.
And there's a weird line in that I guess it's not even that funny, but I find it funny now because you just find these new things on the episodes. And he goes,
not one of my favorite episodes, to be honest.
I like certain parts of it. I think it's pretty funny. And then like when Kramer goes and shakes the guy down at the end and steals the, sure. the statue back. But at one point, the actor guy who stole the statue goes, he goes, make dinner, perhaps. I can make you dinner. And then Jerry, out of nowhere, when they're leaving, he's all pissed. And he goes, no, I don't eat dinner. Dinner's for suckers. That's what he says.
I don't remember it.
And it's such a weird non sequitur line. It's just out of nowhere.
I can't recall it.
He goes, dinner's for suckers. And they walk out. Because he's supposed to be pissed about the statue.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I haven't watched Seinfeld in a little bit other than that one little clip because I've been playing Last of Us 2, I mean, day in and day out here, buddy.
How is that?
I mean, it might be the greatest video game of all time. I love the first one so much.
Is that basically the video game version of the quarantine?
Yeah, it really is. It's, you know, this thing is this like fungus infected the world and it turns people cuckoo. And then, it's so good, though. We don't have to really get into it, but that has been eating up my days and nights.
So are you doing online or are you doing the campaign?
No, I just do the story by myself.
Story. Yeah, okay.
I'm too nervous about teenagers to go online and get made fun of.
That's where the most terrifying.
I play on, like, moderate, easy, you know. I'm still a 41-year-old man, and, I know I don't want to get made fun of.
Teenagers are the most terrifying on video games. Like even in person, they're terrifying because they're like it's almost like they're a bunch of ex-cons. Teenagers are like ex-cons because like they have nothing to lose, or somebody who's like, or somebody in jail that has a life sentence. That's the teenager. Like teenagers on the outside are like somebody. If you're in jail, this guy can just shiv you because he's got nothing to lose. And teenagers can just do whatever they want because they're minors and they're like, I can't get in trouble for this. You know, what are you going to do? You know, because they see him like I got bumped. I walked through a bunch of teenagers once on like Third Avenue, and I just kept barreling through. And they were like. Like, they really were trying to fight me. And I was like, I can't fight the teenagers. I can't do that.
No. I can't fight.
I can't fight. I can't really fight.
Yeah, who are you kidding?
I can't really fight. I can't, but I've never gotten, like, have you ever gotten beaten up?
I've never gotten beaten up. I've gotten punched, but I've never gotten, like, the shit beat out of me.
Have you ever
I've taken some punches, though.
Have you ever landed a punch?
Yeah, I've landed a few. I've hung out in bars my entire life since I was 21 years old. So, you know, the Irish pubs and fucking characters I hang out with, eventually something's going to happen. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And the fact that you look like a Nordic ship captain doesn't really help anything.
Yeah. I've broken up more fights between like a friend of mine and somebody else than I've been in. But yeah, if like you're really, you know, fucking with one of my friends, I don't know. I'll try and find the nerdiest guy and have a go with him.
I would think that a lot of it gets shut down if you get involved because you're a big dude.
I mean, this is, we don't have a large sample size to work with. They are all quickly.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean. Because I've been only in a handful, but when I say fights, I'm talking about like drunk and mess fight. Like I'm not
exactly.
I'm not fighting professionally. I'm not starting fights. I don't. I think I've instigated things after somebody has said something to me.
Sure, sure.
Like I'll drunkenly be a wise ass back to get myself punched or get myself grabbed. But like I've never.
Yeah.
And then I'm talking. Also, we're old men, Andy.
I know.
I don't think this has happened to me in 15, 20 years. You know, like it's 15 years. You know, like
I mean, yeah, maybe within the last 5 years, the only thing I can recall was one of my friend's brothers who was this like kind of. Mean kind of drunk guy, but if you were his friend and he knew you, he was very sweet to you. But outside, like the regular bar flies, if you just kind of breathed on him the wrong way, he'd go, "What the fuck's that guy's problem? He wants to fuck you. What do you say?"
Yeah.
But dude, relax. Nobody's thinking about it. So one night he comes in. He brings, I swear to God, a transvestite woman who it was a man and now she's a woman. However, that mathematics worked. And we're drinking late. It's kind of last call. And I walk outside to leave. And I see this transvestite beating on this guy, John. And I run over. And I go, get the fuck off. So I kind of just throw her off him.
Hey, crime.
And I just kind of go, get the fuck out of here. And she was like, you don't even know what he said to me. And I was like, all right, leave him alone. This guy's on his back. And like, he couldn't defend himself. He was shit faced out of his mind.
Just a mess.
Since then, he has loved me, and his brother has loved me even more. So whenever I go to this particular bar, this one guy will walk in and he'll go, Andy, this guy. And he's one of those barflies who tells the story
every time,
10 times more exaggerated than it was that actually happened every time.
He's like, there I was.
This guy saved my brother's life. Five guys were attacking him, and he threw every single one. I go, dude, it's not. I just fucking pushed the guy away.
You're like, it wasn't even one guy. Like, it was technically not even one guy. Yeah,
it was a guy and a girl.
Guy and a girl. It was two.
But I mean, anything you need, we got you. So it was kind of endearing in that way. But they've always loved me, and I've always loved, like, to the point where I've had other friends there. They go, oh, fuck, here we go, this story again.
Did you ever find out what he said to the trans woman?
No, never knew, but I'm sure it was something vile and racist first.
Jesus Christ.
Maybe he found out he wasn't exactly a trans.
That's what I'm wondering about. That seems like that might be the maybe that's why they try to gloss over. But I go, yeah, there's these five guys.
Maybe.
Yeah, like maybe they're trying to be like, no, that's not the story. The story is,
oh, that's a
bunch
hilarious
of dudes. You know, like obviously.
I didn't even think of that angle.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure something like that happened.
So, yeah, I tried.
Yeah, that's
to stay
the that's the last nice everybody, skirmish man. That you got into.
Yeah, that was the last dust up. But I tried to be nice, man. There's no, be kind and
yeah, treat people how you want to be treated. Now,
I know it's the thing about living in New York City too. You know, you and me, almost 20 years now. Jesus,
yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Does jade you, and it does give you a shorter temper. Even I shouldn't say temper, a shorter temperament.
Yeah,
and where it's like I will go to my friends that I went to college with who live in like New England, and I'll spend a weekend with them, and it'll just be like fun and jovial. And I'll come back and be like, man, why all the hate? Why all the short temperedness in New York City? Where, you know,
kumbaya. Yeah,
it is a real thing in New York City. That attitude is a real, real thing.
But what it also does is it's like you're not getting shocked by anything anymore. So you go somewhere else, and then somebody is acting wacky at a bar, or like it seems like people in the suburbs might be freaked out by it. You're like, yeah, this is nothing. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that's true.
A overly drunk guy or a weird, you know, weird character on the street. You know, nobody cares.
Yeah.
You ever just scream at the top of your lungs in the middle of Manhattan? Nobody turns around.
Nobody turns around.
I was screaming. Something happened comedy-wise. I got something I wanted or something once, and I started losing my mind in the middle of the street, screaming with joy, and nobody even looked at me twice when I did that.
That's
great. Years ago, but yeah, it was pretty, you know.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's just, yeah, just be cool with everybody. Be
absolutely
cool, Jack. Be cool, Jack.
Relax. We're professionals. What movie?
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Very good. Very good.
The parking
very
attendant, quick. Who also I think was is he the drummer for Sonic Youth, or he's the, one of the guitarists for Sonic Youth? Or no. Yes. I think he's the guitarist for Sonic Youth.
Oh, I wouldn't have made that connection.
Something like that. That guy's, he has a weird voice in it too, because he goes, sir, relax. Yeah, yeah. We're professionals. He's got this weird voice. That's a great scene. That's such a great.
I didn't watch anything new this week. I'm going to watch Fear City. I need some new recommendations, dimwits. If you're out there, if you think I'll like something, throw it at me.
I
did catch the last half, and it's so fucking good. I just got suckered in again. I watched the last hour and a half because it's such a long movie of Magnolia.
Oh yeah. I think you just rewatched that recently, or I did. I rewatched it.
Yeah,
recently.
I think you did, and then I just caught it again, and God, it's so great, man.
It's so great.
What Paul Tom, what a talent this guy is, man. To write and direct these, like, and he was a young, maybe in his late 20s, early 30s, no older than like mid 30s, making Boogie Nights and Magnolia. And there, I mean, just, I was just in awe and just watching everybody and the connections, and it was just such a great film. I mean, it's a downer, but woof.
It's the best thing that Tom Cruise has ever done acting wise. Hands
I up. Agree. I think he should have won Best Supporting Actor.
He should have. You know, that the story with him and his dad is just So great.
Jason Robards is so good. I think died shortly thereafter.
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, yeah.
I love filmmakers. All my favorite filmmakers use these kind of ensembles. Great ensemble cast. You know, Julianne Moore and Philip Baker Hoffman. Is that his name? No, Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Well, you know what's
crazy? I was thinking of Philip Baker Hall, who's also Jimmy Gator.
Yeah.
And, you know Melora Hardin, she's great.
These guys like PTA, what happens is when you do, and we might have talked about this before, that when you are doing, the less you're doing, it's like the quality over quantity thing really resonates when it comes to filmmaking.
Yeah.
Like when you find, you know, like look at the Tarantino, you know, like Tarantino, what, you know, that's why he has the idea of just doing 10, and look at Kubrick. But I think, I don't know, I have to say, like, if you put up Paul Thomas Anderson versus Kubrick, who do you like better?
That's so hard, man.
Really?
Oh God, it's tough. See, I love Kubrick so much.
It's Paul Thomas Anderson.
I'm kind of leaning that way, which sounds like heresy, but I love The Shining. I love Full Metal Jacket. I love Eyes Wide Shut. I can't choose. Don't make me choose.
Eyes Wide Shut, I think, is super underrated.
It is underrated. I mean, even 2001 is a beautiful, just aesthetically. Yeah. Dr. Strangelove, the list goes on.
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah, exactly.
The list goes on.
I'll tell you. I'll tell you. It's good you mentioned 2001 because I watched something for the first time, and it was an investment because of how long this movie is, that a lot of people have seen that I should have watched when it came out, but I didn't. And it's also by another director who's amazing. I watched Interstellar for the first time.
Oh, what'd you think?
I liked it a lot. I thought it was great.
I liked it a lot too.
And I forget
it's a Christopher Nolan movie.
I didn't know. I didn't know until when I was like, oh, maybe I'll watch Interstellar. And I think my roommate, he was like, it's Christopher Nolan. And I was like, oh, really?
Yeah. I enjoyed it very much.
I think
the aforementioned Lori Palminteri told me to watch it, and I did, and I loved it.
You know, it's funny. I just did that gig with her, and I said, I think I'm going to watch Interstellar. She's like, it's so good. It's so good. But the thing about it is what I wanted to mention is I think it's heavily influenced by 2001 Space Odyssey. I think it's
Sure.
I think the TARS thing in it is supposed to be, you know, not Dave. What do they call it? Whatever the machine is.
2001. But yeah, I know what you mean.
I think the vibe of it's like that. I think even some of the shots, you know, and I think that, but I think it was good. I think it was kind of, because I also watched Ad Astra not that long ago. So I'm really going on like a long lost father kick when it comes to, like, you know, these movies. And Ad Astra, I think I like Interstellar better than Ad Astra.
Yeah, I would say that too. Very different movies in feel, but yeah.
Maybe because Interstellar has more personality, but I think story-wise, and I think the only thing about Interstellar is that it's a very, very long movie.
It's a long movie. It's got that Christopher Nolan touch on it, though, where you go, oh, all right, you're working on a few different planes of existence here. You, where you go.
Yeah.
It's like it's Inception in a way, but much easier to understand than Inception. Inception, sometimes you go, wait, where the fuck are we? Are we nine dreams deep? I don't fucking know.
Well, that's Inception. Yeah, that was like the point of the whole thing.
Sure. But Interstellar gets a little bit like that. I think he likes doing that kind of stuff. But I think it's a great movie. I've rewatched it once or twice.
You ever think of this? Christopher Nolan movie plots are like Seinfeld episodes.
Interesting point.
Everything ties in.
Yeah, sure. And I mean, that's usually my favorite kind of stuff. Is I love a callback in stand-up comedy.
Yeah,
tie in. You know,
Larry David is the Christopher Nolan of sitcoms.
That's fantastic. Larry David came up this week in conversation with me and Greg. Me and Greg Stone, who we mention a lot. We went and got an ice cream cone.
Was it 1956?
It was so hot. We just went, let's just get an ice cream. And he just goes, all right, Mount Rushmore of your four favorite funniest people, not including stand-up comics right now. And I came up with Conan O'Brien, Martin Short, Mel Brooks, and Larry David.
Dude.
And it's a hard thing to narrow four down. But.
That might be mine. That might. You said you started with Martin Short, and I was like, no, you know what? I would flip out.
Conan, Martin Short.
Instead of Mel Brooks, I would put John Candy.
Oh, that's a good one. Not on my Rushmore, though.
What about funny women?
Ooh, that's a great one, too.
Carol Burnett, Julie Louise Dreyfus.
JLD is on there for me.
What's that? Oh, not stand-ups. It can't be stand-ups.
Well, that was just what we did.
Oh, you know who would be on mine? Bonnie Hunt. But, like, just, like, Bonnie Hunt is so funny, but never, like, I messaged Bonnie Hunt on Instagram to see if she would do my radio show. I've also messaged Idris Elba, but he didn't write back, and William H. Macy.
That's funny.
Just randomly messaging famous people to do the radio show.
I don't know. Julie Louis Dreyfus is up there for me. I think Kristen Wiig is really, really funny.
Oh, maybe it'd be like an SNL person. You're right. Maybe somebody in SNL. You know who's Kristen Wiig is really funny. Adi Bryant's really funny. I don't know if I'd put her up there, but Bryant's super funny. That baby, not the babysitting sketch, the birthday party sketch, the sleepover one. She did it a couple times, once with Drake and once with Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
Where she's like the perverted 12-year-old. It's so
right.
fucking funny.
I always loved Amy Poehler, too. She always tickled me.
Amy Poehler's super funny. Yeah.
Betty White makes me laugh a lot.
Yeah. I could see that. There's a lot.
Oh, you know who I love a lot? Who I think is super funny? Is Madeline Kahn from the Mel Brooks.
Oh, you mean from Clue?
Clue, Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
Flames were burning up my face. What'd you say? Running down my face. flames.
Baby,
yeah, dude.
Three schnitzel grooving is my limit.
Terry Garr is great too in Young Frankenstein. Like Mel Brooks always does a good job.
So great
with funny gals. Oh, Cloris Leachman's funny too.
Cloris Leachman's very funny.
We're
missing a huge one. Catherine O'Hara.
Oh my God, she would definitely be on there. She would 100% be on there. Oh my, yeah. SCTV, Schitt's Creek, oh my God, Catherine O'Hara would be right up there.
Yeah, yeah. So give us your Mount Rushmore of funny men and women.
Yeah.
You don't have to stick. Well, yeah, let's do this. Don't stick to the stand-up code, because stand-up comedians is such its own thing. Give us your Mount Rushmores of your favorite funniest,
non-stand-up comedians.
And if you want to combine it, you can do two women, two men, or if you really want to get crazy, just do your Mount Rushmore. Just do four funniest of all time. So let us know. To tweet at us, defend your movie. Did we change the handle? It's still defend your movie.
Defend your movie. Yeah, I got to switch it up. Can you change the handle on Twitter?
I believe you can. And you won't lose anything as long as it's available.
Oh, okay. I'll do that today. So
unless there's another DYM podcast out there, I think we're in the clear.
I think we're good. Yes, at Defend Your Movie, but also we're at the DYM podcast on Instagram. So
beautiful. Just
message us on that, what your thing is, and we'll share your picks on our story.
Do it.
Or do a post on your story, tag at the DYM podcast, and we'll share the story on the DYM podcast Instagram. Yes. Also,
and tag us personally at Shawnee Time and at Andy Fiore.
Yes, please. And subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast.
Yeah, it helps.
Let your friends know. We want to get this thing rolling. Come on,
absolutely,
guys.
Absolutely. We're having a ball in the new format. I'm loving it. It's
incredible. I love it.
We're going to sneak some movie stuff in there, but
let's talk about movies. Let's talk about dating. Life, huh? Let's talk about life. Let's talk about Andy's creepy picture again. Whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do.
It's movie related.
Yeah, yeah. Do you want to plug anything else? Also, listen to our radio shows. Andy has one called The Raw Report. That's every Thursday at 4 p.m. on Raw Dog 99.
And Johnny has one. Oh, I was going to.
Oh, go ahead. All right, go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
I could have completed it.
Sorry.
Johnny has one on Wednesdays at 4 p.m. on Sirius XM Raw Dog 99 called Celebrate. Really fun show. Great idea with Kevin McCaffrey. And I was listening again in the car to Ted Alexandro and Liz Mealy.
Oh, that's amazing. I wish I had to get Sirius. I don't know.
Oh, you're an employee. You can get it.
I know. I messed it. I tried to set it up, and I don't know what happened. But thank you so much for doing this, Andy. I love you, buddy.
Of course. I do have one thing to plug, actually. I just don't know the details yet. I'm supposed to be doing a drive-in show on Wednesday, July 29th in Philadelphia. That's all I can tell you because that's all I know so far. My manager texted me today, said, hey, do you want to do this? I said, sure. Okay, I'll give you the details. So if you're in the Philadelphia area next Wednesday and you want to come out and say hi, I would love to talk to the Dimwits or the Defenders, and you bring me a meet or a beat. I would love it.
Also, I have a show at QED the day this comes out. So if you're hearing this podcast, QED at 7 p.m. in the back garden. You can just search for QED in Astoria. And then also on Saturday, I have another one. Watch me try to regain my title at the Astoria Diner Show Saturday. I know. We can hang out this weekend. And please, tell all your friends about the podcast. We'll see you next week. Thank you so much. Dimwits, you're the best. Defenders, you got to switch over to Dimwits. You're going to become the Dimwits.
Hey, one Sean, watch thing. This. Watch this. Adios.
Hey, look at him. Oh, my God. You're 185th there. There we go.
Nailed it.
Thank you, folks.
Bye,
talk
guys.
To you soon. Bye.